Let's turn this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for another glorious time in your presence as we search the scriptures to learn of you. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, so that we may know the hope of our calling and the exceeding greatness of your power that is available for us as Christians, and the riches of the glorious inheritance which you have prepared for us as your people. Oh, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of the word of life this morning, we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us into all truth. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to share with us this morning something very simple, very straightforward, but very important for us to live by, particularly in these last days. And that is understanding that we don't need to major on our weaknesses. Why? Because the strength of God is available for us to help us in all aspects of our weaknesses. You know, in the world, we all talk about our weaknesses. Every one of us have weak points. There's no human being that doesn't have weak points. Everyone. In fact, even Jesus told his disciples and said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we all have weaknesses. And one of the tricks of the devil is to get us to focus our attention on our weaknesses, and in the process, get discouraged. And then we begin to compare ourselves with others. Oh, if only I was as strong as this other person. If only I had the same capabilities as they do. No, forget about that. In Christ, we all have the same capabilities. There is the same potential in every one of us because Christ is our sufficiency. All we just need to do is develop our lives in Him. God is no respecter of persons, you see. If you build your life in Christ, you'll be as strong as another person who builds their life in Christ. It's as simple as that. But if I rely on myself, then the devil is going to make me focus my attention on my weaknesses and disqualify myself in so many areas of life. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't have the ability to do that. We all are falling into that trap many times before, because we are relying on ourselves. But we will see clearly this morning that for us as Christians, we have something to help us in our weaknesses. And that is what Jesus brought for us all. It is called grace. Grace is no license to sin. Grace is the power of God to help us to live above our own human weaknesses, so we can live like Christ while we are here on earth. Didn't Jesus himself say that those who believe on him, the works that he did, they will do also, because he was going to the Father? In other words, he's brought us the means by which we can do the work. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace himself, lives in us. We have every grace of God that we need already in us. We just need to develop it, tap into it, and allow it to begin to flow out of our bellies. Out of our bellies. All the strength of God is in you, because the kingdom of God is in you. Isn't that so? If God's kingdom is in you, then what do you lack? You don't lack anything, because God owns everything and his kingdom is in you. And when you talk about somebody's kingdom, you are talking about the area of that person's influence and dominion. So imagine that God's area of influence and dominion is within you, Bible says. So the potential is the same for every one of us as Christians. We can tap into the strength of God. We just have to understand how to do it. That's all. Because the devil catches us in his trap when he gets our eyes off what we call grace, or get us to misunderstand what grace is all about, And then we begin to rely on ourselves and we fall and fail. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, for the sake of context, I'll read from verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knew it. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knew it. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory in my, I will not glory but in mine infirmities. So what is Paul saying here? Which man did he know? Is it a different man than himself? No, it's talking about himself, but it's talking about Paul in the spirit. That's why he's saying, well, whether he was in the body or out of the body, he didn't understand because he was in a vision, caught up to the third heaven. So to say, so he was in the spirit, let's put it that way, just like John on the island of Patmos was in the spirit and brought all those revelations to us. Now he's talking about Paul in the spirit, compared to Paul in the flesh. And he's saying, well, I will glory in Paul in the spirit, but I will not glory in Paul in the flesh. Because Paul in the flesh is weak. You can see him as an apostle, but I'm weak. I can't do anything. I'm not special. But when I get in the spirit, I'm different. Because that's no longer me now. That is Paul empowered by God himself. So it's a different Paul in the spirit. But Paul on his own is weak. But Paul with the Holy Spirit is strong. Hallelujah. So I will glory in the things of the spirit, but in the things of myself and the flesh, no glory at all. Now let us go on to verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now look at verse 7. This is where the rubber meets the road. You know, many of us want to operate in the spirit. We want to do great things for God. But what we don't understand is that the moment we begin to move into those great things of God, we are going to face great challenges from the devil also. Many of us don't understand that. Oh, I want to be a missionary, go around the world. I want to be an evangelist. I want to be a pastor. But are you able to stand when the devil comes against you? Because it's going to come against you sure and certain. The moment you begin to move high in God, the devil is going to come to pull you down. He's going to come at you on every front. He did it against Jesus himself. He did it against all the apostles in the book of Acts. And he's doing it against Paul. But there is a key to defeating him. And that's what God has revealed to us here in this passage of scripture. And that's what we need in these last days. We don't need to worry about the devil. We don't need to worry about our weaknesses, which the devil will try to capitalize on. Let us focus on the grace of God. And we'll find out that more than we realize, that grace can handle the devil and handle all his strategies against us. Because God has designed his own grace to be the means for us to live in victory in all aspects of life. Grace can take care of all aspects of our lives because that is God's own strength in operation. Verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now let's pause a minute here, because some people get this verse of scripture wrong. They think, well, that was God giving that messenger of Satan to Paul to buffet him, because God was the one that gave him the revelation. So God gave him the revelation and gave him a thorn along with the revelation. But that is unscriptural. Why? Because Bible says God doesn't tempt any man with evil. How can God tempt his own apostle with a messenger of Satan? God doesn't send messenger of Satan to people. It is Satan that sends his own messenger. So you have to understand that when you begin to move with God, the devil is going to send his own forces against you to stop you. But God is there to help you if you depend on him. That's just it. So understand that this is not God. I mean, why would God send a messenger of Satan? He has his own good messengers, messengers of light called angels, holy angels. Those are the ones he sends to people. He will send you Michael. He will send you Gabriel. He won't send you a messenger of Satan. Praise God forevermore. So unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, pay attention now, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that wonderful? God said to Paul, well, take your attention off of this messenger of Satan. It's nothing when you depend on my grace, because my grace will supply you with strength to defeat him. That messenger of Satan was buffeting Paul all over the place. Well, it has nothing to do with sickness. Because again, some people have misinterpreted that. They think, well, Paul had some incurable sickness. If he had such incurable sickness, he would not have been as effective in his missionary work as he was. Because Paul was always traveling all over the place. In fact, some people said he had blindness. I don't know where they get all those things. I don't know where people get all this garbage from. That's not in scripture. Paul was never blind. We didn't hear that they were leading Paul about. Because he couldn't see. Oh, God have mercy. That's why we have to search the scriptures and get to know the truth for ourselves. You see, this messenger of Satan was a demonic spirit that the devil sent to try to stop Paul from doing what God had called him to do. That's all. So everywhere Paul went, this messenger of Satan will stir up problems for him to try to stop him. We all see that clearly through the book of Acts. Everywhere Paul went, the Jews stirred problems for him. The false brethren stirred problems for him. It wasn't easy. And he himself explains to us what this messenger of Satan was all about in this passage of scripture. Again, verse 9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. You see the key? I will glory in my weakness, so that the power of Christ, the grace of God, may rest upon me. In other words, when I'm weak, instead of feeling downcast about it, I will rejoice, because it's another opportunity for God's strength to show up. It's not about me now. It's about God. It's about depending on God, not on myself. So whether I'm weak or not, it does not matter. All that matters is the strength of God, because the strength of God is never weak. See the key? And if you and I will begin to depend on the strength of God, we will never be found wanting. When the devil comes, he will fail, because the strength of God is more than enough to give us the victory over him. So Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure. So this is what the messenger of Satan is doing against Paul. You see it clearly here? Yeah? It has nothing to do with any sickness. No. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when I'm weak in myself, then am I strong in the grace of God, the strength of God. That's the key. So we don't need to focus on our own weaknesses, because the grace of God is available for us to help us overcome our weaknesses. So stop looking at yourself as weak. Weak. Oh, I'm too weak. I can't do this. Oh, I'm too weak. I can't do that. No, let us begin to remind ourselves that the grace of God is there to help us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about the higher authority over us, God himself, who is our Father and who has invested in us his own resources. Bible says we have the treasure of God in heaven vessels which we have, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we don't rely on ourselves, we rely on God. Now let's turn, while we are in 2 Corinthians, let's turn backwards a few pages to chapter 9. Chapter 9. And we realize that grace is available for every area of our lives. No wonder the Bible also tells us to come boldly unto the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 4, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now look at it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Sufficiency in all things. How? By the grace of God. The same thing God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, because in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And here, Bible is saying God has the ability to make his grace available for us in all areas of our lives, so that we are sufficient in all things, and then we can do all the good works that God has called us to do in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So how am I going to do the good works? How am I going to please God with my life? Only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. And this is why, if we understand these things as Christians, there is no room for boasting. There is no room for thinking that one person is better than another. There is no basis for comparison, and there is no competition in the body of Christ, because we all depend on the same resources, the grace of God. We just have to understand how to access this grace and take advantage of it in the time of need. That's all. That's all. When Paul caught a revelation of the grace of God, every letter he wrote to every church, he always began with grace be multiplied to you, and he ended it with grace. You understand? And he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Because he caught a revelation of grace, that apart from grace, I'm nothing. And this is Paul that many people looked up to. But he is honest with himself to say, well, if it weren't for the grace of God, I'm nothing. I'm weak. But the grace of God is what is helping me. Hallelujah. And the grace of God is what is helping you and I too in Christ Jesus. And that's why in John chapter 1, Bible says, grace came through Jesus Christ. He brought us grace so that we can have what we need to overcome all our weaknesses and walk in the strength of God and fulfill all our destiny and our calling and everything else that God sent us into this world to do. All by the grace of God, we'll finish it. Paul finished his race, didn't he? He kept the faith to the end. How? By the grace of God. And you can be a finisher too, by the grace of God. So don't rely on yourself. No room for boasting, except we boast in God and His grace. Hallelujah. Now, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's begin to tie this thing up together and see how we need to develop our lives in this grace and grow in this grace. Grace is there in us as a potential, but unless we grow in it, we cannot have it working in our lives. That's just the difference. Everybody has the potential, the same potential. If you are in Christ, you have the same potential because we all have the same Holy Spirit. You don't have a different Holy Spirit than me. It's the same Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of grace. So all the supply of the strength of God is already in us. But unless I develop that and allow it to begin to operate in my life, it's just going to be dormant. And when something is dormant, it is useless. It's not producing any result. It's not making any difference because it's dormant. But when you activate it, then the potential begins to manifest now. Invisible experiences. And that is what we want. And that is why Paul wrote to Timothy as a pastor to do something with that grace so that he could fulfill the calling upon his life. Because without the grace of God, he wouldn't be able to make it. And I will encourage you when you get home, read the first chapter of Timothy and then study this chapter 2. You'll find some wonderful things that Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see very clearly in the first verse, but in order for us to get it in a bit of context, I'm going to read a couple of verses from 2 Timothy chapter 1 so that we see the background to what Paul is saying here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, he began in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Drop down with me, please, to verse 3. It says, or better still, let me just read it from verse 1 since we are close to the beginning there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, now please underline your Bible, being mindful of thy tears. Ah, is this not somebody called of God? Timothy, why is he shedding tears? Well, with the calling that God places upon you will come quite a lot of trouble from the enemy's camp that will make you want to weep. Paul went through it. And that's why he's able to encourage Timothy and say, Timothy, well, you are going through some difficult experiences. You're having some troubles in your life. Troubles that are making you weep. You know, when you go through some hard times in life, you just want to weep. Because it's not easy. But in moments like that, remember the grace of God. So Paul is saying, well, I'm praying for you, Timothy. I know what you are going through. I've been through it myself, and I'm still going through it myself. Because the messenger of Satan is there buffeting me all over the place. But let me encourage you by the encouragement that I have received from God. Let me comfort you by the comfort wherewith God comforted me myself. Hallelujah. Now, he encourages him then to remember the faith of God that is in him, and we shall see why he was saying that in a short while. Because faith is the means by which you access the grace of God, the strength of God to help you in your own weaknesses. Grace doesn't just operate in your life effortlessly. You have to access it by your faith in the promises of God rather than leaning on your own human understanding. When you tap into the word of God and believe it and act upon it, immediately that faith connects you with the grace of God, and the strength of God shows up. And you begin to operate in the strength of God, no longer in your own weakness anymore. And so it's encouraging him and saying, well, there is faith in you. There is genuine faith in you. This faith was in your grandmother, Lois. And that same faith was in your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded the same faith is in you. So stir it up. Do something with the word of God that you have in you. Don't let all the pains and all the difficulties and troubles that the enemy is causing you dampen your spirit. Stir the word of God in you. Stir faith in you. Let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, wake up in you and connect you with the power of God to give you the victory. That's it. So it's encouraging him. It's encouraging him. Look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. Stir it up. Why are you in tears all day long? Stir up the gift of God in you. Hook up with the strength of God and let that power of God make the difference in your life. On your own, you can't make it, Timothy. You'll just be there weeping until Christ comes. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's drop down to chapter 2. So we see the background. Okay, let's before we go there, let us look at Paul also telling Timothy that himself was going through exactly the same thing. So it wasn't that, okay, oh, Timothy, you are going through it, but I'm fine. I'm this, I'm that. No. He's saying, but I, myself, I'm going through the same thing. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Isn't that wonderful? I'm suffering through, Timothy. I can encourage you because I'm suffering through. But I know one thing. I am fully persuaded in God. I'm trusting in him, not relying on myself. And I know by his strength he will keep me and keep everything concerning me even unto the day of Christ. I'm not going to fall because I'm depending on his strength. So it's encouraging Timothy to do the same thing. Now, chapter 2, verse 1, then it says, thou therefore, the word therefore, that's why I backed up to chapter 1, so that we can see that the word therefore refers to what he has been saying to encourage Timothy all along. So he's saying to him, now, because of all these things that I've been saying, therefore, do something. Hallelujah. And what is it? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what you and I need every day, to develop our strength in the grace of God. Or our strength in the strength of God. Not our strength on our own. No. Our strength in the strength of God, which is called grace. So, be strong. So God is saying to every one of us, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And how we need that more than ever before in these last days. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How do we do that? Turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 5. See, to be strong in the grace of God depends actually on your building up yourself in your most holy faith through the word of God. Because when you build your life up in the word of God, the faith of God, the faith of Christ himself, that will connect you with the strength of God, the grace of God which Jesus brought for us to walk in. See, the same grace that saved us is the same grace that will keep us in the path of salvation, benefiting from all the blessings of the kingdom of God. There's no other way. The same way we came into the kingdom is the same way we live the kingdom life. We were saved by grace through faith. You see how faith and grace work together to bring us to salvation, and it is the same way we are going to walk in every blessing of salvation all our days. That's why there's no boasting. No boasting. The same way we were saved, the same way we were brought into the kingdom of God, is the same way we are going to live the kingdom life until Christ calls us home. By grace, through faith. By grace, through faith. By grace, through faith. That's how we are saved. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, remember, we are saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, so that we can boast. Not ourselves. No boasting, except we boast in God and His grace. Hallelujah. We can't boast in ourselves. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 5, from verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Oh, if you are a Christian, you are standing in the grace of God because you are saved by grace. You are brought into the kingdom by grace. You are standing upon what brought you in. The shoes that brought you into the kingdom is called grace. And that's what you are wearing as a Christian. You are standing in that grace. And now, how do you access more grace? Remember, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace, all kinds of grace available to you in all areas of life, so that you are sufficient to all good works in all aspects of life. So how am I going to access grace? For instance, if I'm hot-tempered, easily provoked, how am I going to access the grace of God to help me overcome that easily provoked nature in me, which is the nature of the flesh and the weakness that I have in my flesh, so that I can begin to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, which is meekness and gentleness? It's going to be by the grace of God. So how am I going to access that? Through the faith of God. I'm going to get the Bible, search the scriptures, get to know about all the fruit of the Spirit, and begin to pray and ask God, help me to be exactly like you want me to be. And then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, will begin to dispense the grace to overcome the weakness of my flesh to me. That's the way it works. There's no other way. There's just no other way. So it says there again, by whom also we have access by faith. Access. Access talks about the way, the door that leads you into something. So faith is the door that leads you into the grace of God, so that whenever you lack any ability, you can get the supply through the grace of God. It's only by faith. So you have to be diligent in the word of God. A Christian that says, I don't have time for the word of God, is simply saying, I don't need God's help in my life. So you have to rely on yourself. And you and I know that if we rely on ourselves, we are going to fall. So you have to make time. You are never going to have time for the word. You have to make time deliberately. The devil has designed the system of this world that nobody has time for God. It's like up and down all day long. Just like the devil himself, going to and fro. That's how he has designed the system of the world. But you have to apply the wisdom of God and make time for God in your life. And then you'll be amazed that, oh, I thought I wouldn't have time for God, but now I see I can actually have time for God. And then grace begins to develop in you. You begin to grow in the grace of God through your faith. That's how it works. There's no other way. That's how to grow in the grace of God. That's how to be strong in the grace of God. It is through faith, through the word of God, that we study, meditate in, believe with our heart, and apply our lives to doing. We have to be doers of the word. And then grace will be there. Grace will be there. Now, let us turn to Zechariah as we pray this morning. Let's turn to Zechariah. It doesn't matter what our challenges are in life. As we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the experience of Paul and that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan that was buffeting him, and God telling him, my grace is sufficient for you. then we begin to realize that even under the old covenant, God also spoke about grace as means to overcome. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. The God of the old covenant is the same God of the new covenant. It's the same. The problem is many of us don't understand his ways. We are like the children of Israel that didn't understand the ways of God. They were God's people, but they didn't understand the ways of God. Bible says only Moses knew the ways of God. The children of Israel only knew the acts of God. They heard the thunderings, they saw the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, they saw the Red Sea open, they saw the mighty miracles of God, but they didn't really understand how to walk with God. That was why every little thing they would complain. Whenever challenges came, they would complain. But Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, who understood the ways of God, they never complained. When challenges came, they would stand up strong, depending on God. See the key? When you know the ways of God, you don't worry about anything. Paul said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself. Because he understood the grace of God. That God's grace will take care of all those things for him. And here is a king. Under the old covenant. That God taught the same thing. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. Zechariah. Chapter 4 is a scripture that we all know very well. We quote it all the time. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Who is the spirit? Well, is the spirit of grace. Of course, in the work that God had called Zerubbabel and the other people that were with him then to do in restoring things in the land, of course, opposition came by the enemy. Just as you know, once you begin to step out to do what God wants you to do, the devil is going to try to stop you. He's going to oppose you on every front. But here is God encouraging Zerubbabel. Verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, Zerubbabel is not going to be done by your own strength. It's not going to be done by your own human resources. It's not going to be done by your own abilities as a king, depending on yourself and the people under your command? No. It's going to be done by God, the strength of God himself. Just as David knew that Goliath was going to come down, not by the hand of David, the shepherd boy, but by the hand of the God of heaven, the commander of the armies of Israel, whom Goliath had defied. And he said to Goliath, you are coming against me with human weapons, but I'm coming against you in the name. Hallelujah. I'm not coming by human resources. That's why I don't have a shield. I don't have a sword. But I have the name above all names. And today, Goliath, as big as you are coming down. You are coming down before this little boy. Because this little boy looks little on the outside, but he's big on the inside. Because greater is he that is in him than you, this giant, uncircumcised Philistine, that has no covenant with God. I'm a covenant child of God. I can tap into the grace of God and the might of God and defeat you. Sure and certain, Goliath fell. And here God said to Zerubbabel, it's not going to be by your own resources, but by the Spirit of God himself. Why? Because it's going to be done by the strength of God, the grace of God. Look at verse 7. Let's read that together. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Hallelujah. He's going to shout grace. Not by mind, not by power. but by the Spirit of the Lord. The walls of Jericho fell when they shouted the praise of God as commanded by Jesus himself. Remember, Jesus was the one under that tree, and Joshua, as a man of war, saw him under the tree and drew his sword. He was going to fight. You know that, that's how warriors are. You come in my territory, I fight you. Who are you? Are you for us or against us? Joshua was trying to fight. But he didn't know that this is the real person that will fight for them. This is Jesus himself, the Lord of hosts. Because Jesus told him, put away your sword. I've come as the Lord of hosts. I'm the one that is going to bring you into Jericho. Not your own sword. Put that away. Now I'm going to tell you how to get the job done. You won't need this sword. Just praise God. Allow people to do it. Give him the strategy. And on the seventh day, shout! And the wall will come down. And you will go in and possess it. Hallelujah. God told Zerubbabel, shout grace. The mountain will get out of the way. The obstacle will be removed. So that God can get the glory. It's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your power. It's going to be by the grace of God, the Spirit of God. Well, I encourage you this morning, rise up to your feet. You know what you are going through. You know the mountains that are before you. You know the obstacles that are standing in your way in any aspect of life. On your job, in your business, in your career, in your home, in any area of life. Well, you believe God this morning that is going to be done by the might of God himself. Not by you as a human being. Every victory you need, every success you require is going to be done by the hand of God. So you are going to shout grace to it. The same way God told Ezekiel, remember? How God brought him in that vision to the valley of dry bones, and God told him, son of man, you prophesy, say unto those dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Where you can speak to your problem this morning and say, hear ye the word of the Lord. It's not by my might, it's not by my power, it is by the Spirit of God. And I shout grace in the name of Jesus. Grace in the name of Jesus. Grace in the name of Jesus. Then you begin to thank God. You begin to thank God. That's all. You just act upon the word of God and begin to praise him for the rest. That's all. Then God moves because you've done what he said to do. All that Zerubbabel had to do was what God said here. Zerubbabel, forget about your own resources. Forget about your carnal means. Depend on the Holy Spirit and shout grace against that mountain, that obstacle in the way. Shout grace. Just as Jesus said, shout grace and the wall of Jericho will come down. Well, go ahead and shout. And if you don't like to shout too much at church, I encourage you when you get home, lock yourself up in your room and shout. Just obey the word of God. And you know, you can do this on your own when nobody else is, you know, some of us want to feel dignified when others are around. Well, that's okay. But when you get home, you shout. You know how the thing is paining you, you know. You can feel the pain. So you lock yourself in your room and say, God, you said it's not by my might. You said it's not by my power. You said it is by your Spirit. And you told me to shout grace. And the mountain that is before me shall become plain. Therefore, I obey your word and I shout grace. You sickness, you are not my portion. Grace in Jesus' name. God says shout it. He didn't say just say grace, grace. When God says shout, you better obey. Heaven is full of shoutings. If you read in the book of Revelation. But here on earth we try to be a bit dignified. Okay, God said I should speak to the mountain. Mountain, grace, grace. No, but that's not shouting. Hallelujah. Well, so you know what to do. So if you don't want to do it at church, go home. The devil is in trouble. Because he can't hide from God. The battle is the Lord's, but the victory is ours. We just need to follow the instruction of the commander. That's all. Just as Jesus told Joshua, just follow my instruction, that's all. the world will come down. You won't need to go and look for bulldozer. You won't need to go and look for bulldozer to bring the wall down. The wall is going to come down on its own. Hallelujah. Praise God. The wall will come down on its own, not by our might, not by our power, but by the strength of God himself. God will bring the wall down. He will bring it down. So do it when you get home. But let's give God thanks before we go this morning, that our obstacles are moving out of the way by the grace of God. And whenever we have any situation that contradicts the word of God in our lives, we know what to do. Search the scriptures. Find out what the word of God says about that need. Believe it with your heart. Speak it. And shout the grace of God. Shout the grace of God, so that you can give God alone all the glory. Not unto us, Bible says, be the glory, but unto God we give it all. We give all the glory to God, so that we don't boast in ourselves, but we boast in God. This is what God has done for me. This is what God has done for me, all by his grace, and to him be all the glory. Father, we thank you for what we have shared this morning, the simplicity of your word. Thank you for helping us to see what you are saying to us. As we go back home to meditate in this truth, help us, Lord, to allow it to sink deep down into our spirit, to take root deep within us, that it may become a way of life for us. That in every situation we will remember that it's not based on our own human ability, so we don't concentrate on our own weaknesses or what we call our own strengths. We just focus on your own strength, your grace. Your grace that is available for us as your people. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to walk in it until you come back for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Remember, when you get home, do what God says to do. You name all your problems one by one and begin to shout grace at each one of them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the Living God. God bless you all. Amen.